episode 74 of the Online Chicken School podcast. Today we're talking about using pond water for fermented feed, a big salmonella outbreak, and what causes hens to lay rubbery eggs.
It's time for the Online Chicken School podcast. Whether you've been keeping chickens for years or you're just fixing to get started, we'll help you get your schooling. And now, here's the chicken tenders, Don and Susie.
Hello, I'm Don, the big chicken tender.
And I'm Susie, the little chicken tender. If you're interested in backyard chickens, you're in the right place. It doesn't matter if you have a whole lot of chickens out in the country or just a few somewhere in the city. This is where we share our knowledge, experience, and opinions to help you get the most out of your backyard flock. All right, so shall we start with updates?
Let's do it.
I've got one word for you.
Okay.
Allergies!
Yes, that's for sure.
I was so convinced that this year was going to be better since you were on allergy shots. I mean, it wasn't as bad as last year, I guess.
It's not nearly as bad as last year. This year, it is annoying. Mm. Last year, it was debilitating.
That's true, because you couldn't breathe. There were times when you were trying to catch your breath. And this year, at least you're able to breathe. That's a good thing.
Well, you could tell by the fact that last year, I spent the entire summer indoors, which drives me crazy.
And drives me crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Get outside.
I know, you keep mentioning that over and over and over again.
But this year you've been outside a lot more, so yeah, I guess it hasn't been as bad, but you're right. It is irritating because you could feel yourself getting closed up and you don't want to push things, but there's so much you want to do. So this season, I guess, has been better, so I guess I can't complain, right?
Yeah, don't complain. It's not as bad.
Okay. Well, since we decided, at the end of spring, beginning of spring, that we weren't going to be hatching out chicks for a while.
Right.
I kind of got a little burnout from that.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get rid of our gold lace rooster, because he was kind of a jerk, and integrate the barred rocks and the gold laces so that they can go out and play together, they can have their fun time without fighting. So we decided to let them out on little play dates. So they still have their separate coops, but now we let both of them out together to roam the yard.
And that's basically just so they can sort of get used to each other and we can observe how they act together before you just go ahead and throw them in a coop together where they can end up killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them get used to each other.
Well, and I always loved the idea of having multiple color chickens running around the yard. You know, not that there's anything wrong with just, you know, the black and white barred rocks or the gold laces out on their own. But it is cool to see different breeds of chickens kind of commingling.
Right.
Now, Dwayne, the rock,
he's having trouble with the new ladies.
He is. You know, he finally gets his girls in line where they will submit to his desires. These girls, not so much.
He's just such a big boy.
Uh-huh.
He can't keep up with them.
Well, his girls are bigger as well. His barred rock hens, boy, they are big girls. These gold laces, they're not quite as big. They're a lot smaller, which means they can get up and go a lot faster, and they sure do.
Yeah, it's like he comes around the corner of the coop, and it's like, how you doing, ladies? And they're like, meep, meep.
The first time we let him out, you know, they're so used to being separated. And he would always go by their coop and kind of check them out through the fencing, you know?
Uh-huh.
But this time I had their door open. And they come wandering out, and he's walking by. His look was just like, he did a little double take, like, ooh, I can actually go, like, talk to them. So he was, like, all vocal, and he's doing the little feather dance, you know, where he's dancing around in a circle. And they're like, we've seen this before. We don't want any part of it. They ran right back in that coop.
Yeah.
They said, forget this running around the yard thing. We don't want nothing to do with that big boy.
Yeah.
And it has been a while. We've done this, I don't know, the last 3 weekends, I think. And during the week, we've been letting them out together.
More than we really need to. I mean, we could have integrated them by now.
Yeah.
We just haven't been in any hurry. So we just kind of let them out at the same time.
I'll tell you, they stay on opposite sides of the yard, though.
They right.
really do not want anything to do with each other. So I don't know when we're going to actually put them in the same coop together, but I'm definitely not in a hurry.
Maybe they're not in a hurry.
The Bard Rock may be in a hurry. He's like, I want them confined where they can't get away.
Well, I think in the next few days to a week, I think it's going to be time to just finally put them in a coop together and, you know, call them a flock.
All right. We'll see.
And now, the news. News. News.
Okay, well, in the chicken news today, there has been a very big salmonella outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
The CDC is investigating actually 8 salmonella outbreaks, and these have infected nearly 400 people.
Wow.
Spread out across 47 states.
That's big.
That's huge.
Usually it's like one state, one town, you know, where one set of chicks kind of got distributed. Now they get salmonella, and it's very isolated. What makes this really sad is that more than a third of the infections have been in kids that are under 5. That just breaks your heart because, you know, it's like, as a parent, I assume you don't want anything bad to happen to your kid. I assume.
If you're a good parent, yes. Yeah.
And to see your kids suffer, and if they say that more than a third of these are kids under 5, that's a lot of kids suffering with this through no fault of their own. That's horrible. And all these illnesses have been from live baby chicks. And the weird thing is they were purchased from every place. I mean, feed stores, local hatcheries, online hatcheries. They got them from relatives. You know, there's no pinpointing one specific problem. And I think as we're seeing more people getting into backyard chickens, unfortunately, I think every spring we're going to see this number go up.
Yeah. Well, remember that all chickens can have salmonella,
mm-hmm.
even if they don't show symptoms.
Right.
You know, don't count on the fact that my chickens look fine. And that includes baby chicks.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're very cute doesn't mean they don't have salmonella.
And you don't want to fall into the trap of thinking that, you know, just because you bought chicks from that giant online hatchery that they can't be sick. You just don't know for sure.
Yes. Just because it's a big operation doesn't mean there's no way they can have salmonella. They don't test every bird for it. I mean, they mm-hmm. spot check, and when they find it, you know, they try and tamp it down and get rid of those birds. But, you know, it can pop up before anybody notices.
Right.
And this is what happens. So if you have chickens, hopefully you're already pretty good at this. But if you're new to raising chickens and you order baby chicks from somewhere, please, please, please follow the basic cleanliness precautions recommended by the CDC. And we talk about these all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not enough.
I guess not.
We're going to have to keep talking about them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing is recognize that children love to handle baby chicks.
Oh, yeah. And it's good. You know, you want your children to be handling the chicks so that they're friendly when they get older. We talk about that as well.
Yeah, you want them to be part of the experience of raising chickens and get involved in it and be responsible and stuff like that. But you want to make sure that when they're young, especially with the baby chicks, because kids just can't ever put them down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how their legs ever grow strong because they've never had weight on them. They're just right. always carried around by children. But make sure that your kids are not kissing the baby chicks, not mm-hmm. holding them up against their face.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they aren't doing anything that would get, you know, basically what you're trying to avoid is don't let chicken poo get in their eyes, up their nose, in their mouth, in their ears.
Yeah, good ways to keep them away from your face. Another thing you want to make sure they do is that they wash their hands after they handle chickens. And washing your hands, you think you just say, wash your hands, and everybody would wash their hands well with soap. But you tell a 4-year-old child, you just handle the chickens now, go wash your hands. Now, if they don't get distracted on the way to the bathroom, they're probably just going to run their hands under the water for about 2.5 seconds and then call it quits. I don't know about when you were a little kid, but I know I didn't put through a whole lot of effort washing my hands.
Well, I think if you're a parent, you probably know which one of your kids is the Adrian Monk who scrubs down for surgery every time they go to the bathroom. And then there's the one that barely runs the water.
Right.
Somehow every time they go to the bathroom, the towel's never wet.
Mm-hmm. Just like when they brush your teeth and yet the toothbrush isn't wet.
Right.
Well, what we did with my niece when she would come over, and granted, you know, she'd only come over once in a while, so I understand how you get a little lax in this when every single day your children are handling the chickens, but I think it's important that follow your kid to the bathroom. You put the soap on their hands, make sure it actually gets on their hands. Watch them wash their hands. Make sure it's long enough to actually cover every finger, the front, back of the hands. I mean, just because you don't want to see that kid get sick and suffer, it's worth the extra time and to educate the child on why they're doing that and why it's so important.
Well, and one of the CDC recommendations is that you just don't let children under the age of 5 handle chickens at all.
Mm-hmm.
And in full disclosure, we don't really follow that rule here because we let Brooke handle the baby chicks and we let her handle the full-size chickens when she was, what, 3, I think, is when she started doing that.
Absolutely.
But it's not quite the same thing as if she were our own child because she's just visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime she's around the chickens, either you or I or both are right on top of her.
Absolutely.
We were there making sure she's not putting her fingers in her eyes, making sure she's not putting them in her mouth and or up her nose while she's handling the chickens. And then as soon as she's done, we're making sure she's washing her hands and that she's washing her hands well.
Mm-hmm.
And is she over 5 now?
Yep.
And now that she's over 5 years old, I can see that she gets it.
Right.
I wouldn't have any worries that she goes and handles the chicken. She doesn't come in and wash her hands right away. I still keep an eye on her.
Mm-hmm.
But under 5, if she had access to the chickens when we weren't watching, I wouldn't have that confidence.
That's true.
And if she lived here, there's going to be all kinds of times that she can sneak into the chicken coop when she's in the backyard playing with, you know, whatever, and you're not there watching her every second.
Right.
So I could see where if you have a child under 5, maybe your rule is, hey, you just don't handle the chickens because you're not there to supervise every single second.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you have to figure out what's best for your family, how mature your kids are, how well they listen to you and follow your directions, you know. But yeah, the CDC does say, just to be safe, don't let them touch them.
Well, and with this outbreak, you can see why. With a third of the people infected and getting sick are under the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we mentioned a few of the precautions, but the CDC has a whole list and a lot of them are common sense stuff. You know, make sure you're washing your hands when you come in from feeding the chickens, watering the chickens. Don't wear your chicken chore shoes in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your chickens out of the house.
Right. I mean, there's a ton of them. And you know, what you just said was pretty funny because I could just see me going out, handling the chickens, feeding, watering, you know, you're playing with them, touching them. Then you come inside the house and you're like, come here, Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh, you got something on your face. And you wipe it, you know, and you forgot to wash your hands. That's pretty much the same as if your kid wipes his own nose or his own eyes or sticks his fingers in his mouth. So, you know, it's not all on the kids, I don't think.
Yeah. So keep your chickens out of your face.
That's right.
Okay. Well, on a much lighter and much more ridiculous note.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever wondered what would happen if 10,000 chickens were out in the backyard minding their own business and then suddenly were attacked by predators like, say, 20 T-Rex dinosaurs, who would win?
Well, apparently a computer program called Ultimate Epic Battle Simulator was used by a video game review site on YouTube, and they answered that question.
And in the simulation, the 20 T-Rex dinosaurs really did well at the beginning, just killing chickens left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Just every time they took a step, they would kill like 20 of them.
Right.
But then, just the fact that there were so many chickens, the chickens eventually were able to overwhelm the dinosaurs and emerge victorious.
All right, so you may be asking yourself, are we supposed to take this seriously? Because that's what I asked myself.
No. No, you're not supposed to take it seriously. This is some ridiculous video game that is created to sort of answer weird questions and theoretical battle scenarios. And I'm not sure how chickens even got programmed into it.
Yeah.
But don't take it seriously because if you own chickens, you know that I don't care if you have 10,000 sitting in a field. If just a regular dog goes running up the middle looking for a snack, those chickens all don't turn around and pounce on the dog. They all like run in every direction trying to get away from them.
Right. Well, it's like those nature shows you see where the cheetah's attacking like a herd of wildebeest. And you're like, dude, if they all just ganged up on that cheetah,
Yeah. Why are you leaving Larry behind? Guys, go help Larry.
Yeah. Pounce. Come on. Form a circle. You know, surround him. Now everybody attack.
Obviously, this whole thing is tongue-in-cheek, and I wouldn't even talk about it except for the fact I'm pretty sure this is not going to start a new cockfighting phenomenon of people in inner cities suddenly fighting chickens and T-Rexes.
Oh, good.
Well, maybe these chickens were especially ill-tempered mutant chickens.
Oh, I've had some of those.
But I'm afraid overall, as far as this study goes, I'm going to call foul.
Well, you asked for it. Here it is.
All right. Well, we recently received a voicemail from Tiffany.
Hi there. I was wondering what your success was with your fermented feed. I followed that podcast and the subsequent ones and don't think I saw the result of the fermented feed, how it went, and if you guys recommend it. Thanks so much.
Okay. I like getting those voicemails, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I like hearing from the actual people who are asking the question, because sometimes you hear things in the tone that you don't necessarily read in text.
Absolutely. That's for sure. Now, we have gotten a couple voicemails that we weren't able to understand any of it.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know, you know, if we haven't played your voicemail, please don't be offended. But maybe it was just because it was so garbled, we couldn't understand what you were saying. We apologize.
Yeah, so if you go to our website and hit that voicemail button, we love that people are doing that more, but try to make sure you're maybe in a quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had one from a young person, and there was so much background noise, I couldn't tell if they were singing a rap or asking a question.
That's right.
But anyway, so how did the fermenting go? Okay, understand that this is not a scientific experiment. We didn't have enough birds that this study would satisfy Neil deGrasse Tyson. But basically what we did was we had a large batch of baby chicks we were raising, and we split them into two groups, and we fed one group normally, and we fed another group with fermented feed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we found out doing weights every week we did weights. We weighed them all.
Yes. And that was fun.
Yeah,
squirmy little baby chicks stand on the scale really still.
Well, not only that, but we had so many. It was like, okay, did we already weigh that one? Wait a minute. Are we going to start over again?
Oh, how many times did we start over? There's got to be a better way.
Yes. That's why we don't do those kind of experiments anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we found that the chicks we fed the fermented feed to, I think, had like a 15-20% better weight gain before they left the brooder.
Yeah, they really did.
So they put on more weight, and I guess in general we sort of think of that as healthier, although when people look at my weight gain, they never think of it as healthy, but whatever.
You go, if I was a baby chick, you'd be singing a different song.
That's just, another example of speciesism.
I guess so.
Fine for the baby chicks, not fine for me.
Well, another thing is the baby chicks loved it. I mean, you could just see the chicks in the one cage that were eating the dry food. They're like, come on, what's up with us? You don't like us as much? Because the other chicks were trying to squirt through the side of the cage to get to me the second I walked out in the garage.
Right.
I mean, they would fly at me when I opened the door. I mean, they were sitting on my shoulder. Not that they were thrilled to see me as a person. I get it. I mean, I did like it for my ego. It was like, woo, look at all these chicks love me. But I know it was about the food. They were thrilled. Yeah. It always is with chickens. Now, it worked great for the baby chicks. We fed them the fermented feed. I think we ended up, didn't we take that second group and just go, okay, you know what? Why are we only doing it with this batch? They're gaining so much more weight. Let's get them all on it.
Yeah. So maybe after a couple of weeks, after 3-4 weeks, maybe we decided to just put them all on the fermented feed. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was easier that way, I guess. So then when they went outside, it kind of turned into a different story. We did get the different kinds of feeders that you need for fermented feed, where they're kind of more a trough instead of the, what do you call those? The hanging feeders.
Yeah.
Doesn't work too well with fermented feed. It kind of gets really gross.
Right. And hard to clean up.
Yeah. And I think I fed the fermented feed once they went out in their coop for about a week.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is, once they're adult birds, once they're out in the coops, it just became a little hard to manage for us because of the time we had 9 coops out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have jobs.
Yep.
So trying to do that at like 6 o'clock in the morning before you go to work was not the easiest thing to do.
That's right. You know, and you want to make sure, are all the chickens getting food? Are they all eating? You know, and when they're baby chicks, it's easy to see because they're all right there in a tiny little cage. Then you're supposed to do it in the evening. Well, sometimes I work late. You work late. We go out to dinner. We have errands to do. So I know that just sounds like a bunch of excuses, but
well, they are.
Yeah. And they took to the dry feed. They were just fine. They grew just fine. And we kind of just said, well, if it just gave them a healthy start, that's wonderful. We think that people that feed their chickens fermented feed all the time is a great thing. It just didn't work long term for us.
Yeah. And it's not going to work for everybody. So the idea is, if you can work it into your schedule, and the important thing is if you can do it consistently, because that's the key. You mm-hmm. have to be consistent about it. You can't say, I don't feel like doing that today. You know, you have to do it all the time.
Right.
So if you can work it into your schedule, we think it's a great thing to do for your birds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Tiffany, thank you for that question. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, just go to our website, onlinechickenschool.com, and click on the voicemail button over there and try to make sure you're in a quiet room when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, along the same lines of fermented feed, we also got a question from our good listener, Garrett, in Texas.
Yeah, Garrett messaged us on Facebook, and what an interesting kid he is. He's 15 years old.
Are 15-year-olds still considered kids?
I don't know.
That's a teenager.
After talking to him for quite a while, he seems more mature than some 30-year-olds I meet, honestly.
Well, it's pretty easy around here.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's not setting the bar very high.
Right, well, he shows chickens. And he breeds chickens and sells chickens, which I think is just really awesome. And he's got a great variety. He hatches out. He hatched more than we did this year.
And so Garrett wanted to know, can I use pond water to ferment feed?
Well, I think it's a really good question because one difficulty for many people when they're starting the fermented feed process is finding the right water. You know, you can't just use some tap waters because most tap waters, they're chlorinated. And guess what happens to the fermented process when you dump a bunch of chlorine in there? Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, the chlorine kills all the good bacteria, and the good bacteria is why you're fermenting the feed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So if your community chlorinates the water and you don't have a well, can you use pond water? It depends on what you mean by pond water.
Right.
I think
so too.
Having grown up in central New York and then moving down here to Florida, I found that different regions have different names for bodies of water.
All right. What do you mean by that?
All right. Well, take the word lake, for example.
Okay.
Do you think we'd all have a pretty good understanding of what a lake is?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like a large pond. You know, it's a big, big piece of water that you could see across. What? Why is that funny? Okay.
Well, first of all, in central New York, we're just south of Lake Ontario.
Oh, that's
a
little bigger.
You're surrounded by these giant lakes just beyond that one.
Uh-huh.
But Lake Ontario is so big that you have ocean freighters traveling across that lake. That's how big it is. And you say a lake is something you can see the other side.
Uh-huh.
Most days, you could not see the other side of Lake Ontario. So to me, granted, that's a very big example of a lake. But when you say lake, to somebody in central New York, they're picturing a very large body of water.
Okay.
Whereas down here, you go into these little housing developments,
mm-hmm.
and every time somebody digs a hole that's more than 6 shovels full of dirt,
mm-hmm.
and it holds water for more than 9 months, they call that a lake.
Okay, I can see where you're going with that. That's very true. You really have to define what that is.
Because, you know, you drive into these developments, and you'd always say, oh, it's a cute pond you got there. Oh, you mean our lake?
Yeah.
That's our lake.
Well, on the specs, it's like we've got 6 lakes in like, what, a 5-acre piece of property? You know?
Yeah,
like, that's not possible.
Here's a general rule. If you can canoe across a body of water in 14 seconds, it's not a lake. That is a pond.
That may just be a large puddle.
Exactly.
Well, now we got to go back to Garrett because he's from Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. So I have a feeling his pond is really what you're thinking of as a pond in regards to size. It's not Lake Michigan, but it's not a puddle.
Okay, well, the reason I bring it up is not because I'm concerned with the size of the body of water you get the water out of to use for your fermented feed.
Mm-hmm.
But Some people, I'm really talking about definitions and ideas. And when some people say pond, they picture like a retention pond.
Right.
That's very clean. It has grass growing in the bottom of it or whatever. It's just very clean. Some people, when you say pond, they're picturing lily pads and frogs and cattails growing out of it and algae everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I guess it just depends. But overall, I think in most cases, you'd be fine taking the water out of just any body of water you find, as long as it's not salt water.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's fresh water, I think you'd be fine giving that a try with the fermented feed. The only thing I wonder about is if you have that slimy, nasty, green algae pond, if that's sort of what you're picturing, then I wonder, you know, are there bacteria growing in there that are going to affect the good bacteria you're trying to grow in the fermented feed?
Well,
that's the only thing I might have an issue with. And I don't know there's any way to predict that. You can't see the bacteria in there. You could have bad bacteria in a very clean looking body of water.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's one way to find out is to just give it a try and see if it works.
Right. And that is what we told Garrett. Like, well, you know what? Can't hurt to try. If it doesn't ferment, what did you lose? A little bit of feed. If it did, well, good for you. You found a water source to ferment with.
Yeah, but maybe try in a small batch, not like a 50-pound bag of feed.
Yeah, good idea.
My 50-gallon vat of fermented feed went bad.
And maybe try it on the chickens you're not all that attached to.
Oh, that's not right.
Sorry. Well, another thing I thought of is we've got all these subdivisions around here that have, you know, 500 brand new homes in them, and the grass is like that movie theater green, you know, where you're like, that's not real grass, because they water like six times a day and they fertilize the heck out of it.
Yeah.
So pretty much every retention pond and quote unquote lake in these big subdivisions, they have so much fertilizer runoff and chemicals in that lake. I would be afraid. I don't know. I wouldn't even want to go near it.
Well, that's funny because, again, you call it a lake, and I just laugh because that's not really a lake. But at the same time, you drive around ones that aren't in a development. You know, they're in, say, like an industrial park.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go by there at 5 o'clock without seeing three people fishing out of them.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And you always wonder the same thing. It's like, okay, with all the fertilizer that gets dumped on the grass right next to that, you know when it rains, that all runs into that little lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just wonder about those fish.
Yeah, I have a feeling those people glow in the dark at night.
So you may not want to feed that water to your chickens. I don't know. I just, that doesn't give me a warm and cozy feeling about it. So if, obviously, if you're going to be pulling water out of it, I guess you're not driving down to the local industrial complex and stealing their water. So if you're going to pull water out of a pond, I'm guessing it's on your property and you know sort of what stuff you use around it and what might wash in there. So I guess with those few caveats, which don't apply to a lot of situations, I'd say, you know, give it a try.
Well, after we kind of went back and forth and exchanged some messages, Garrett did send us a follow-up.
And what Garrett found out was that the fermenting process went just fine. No problems at all. Except he had tried fermenting both the normal commercial pellet feed, but Garrett also puts together this mix of grains that he gives to his chickens, and he tried fermenting that as well. Apparently, both fermented just fine. The birds just didn't really care for the fermented feed. It fermented, they just didn't like it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And in his words, they look at me like I'm crazy. But apparently, they liked the fermented grains a lot.
Wow, that's really interesting.
But that seems like a preference of the chickens thing. As far as the fermenting process, seemed to work just fine.
Well, that's really cool. It's fun to experiment with things with your chickens, you know, see if they may like something more than something else. And sometimes you're surprised in a really good way.
Well, Garrett, thank you so much for that question and keep up the good work there in Texas.
Well, we received an iTunes review from Knighthood 6.
And it says, I'm so glad to have found the Chicken School podcast. It is a wealth of information that Don and Susie provide to listeners at no charge, but should get paid for.
I agree.
I thought you'd like that part.
Mm-hmm.
I have binge listened to over half the podcast and can't wait to listen to the remaining ones. Thank you so much for what you do, and I hope you realize how much it's appreciated by newbies like myself. This is the best podcast out there to learn all about raising chickens. Thank you, guys.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Knighthood 6. That really was a nice review.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, before we get back to your questions, I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping on Amazon this week, consider going to our website first at onlinechickenschool.com and click on the Amazon link over there.
And it's going to take you to the same Amazon site that you know and love, and you're going to pay the exact same price for the things you buy, but Amazon's going to give us a little bit of a commission, and this would really help us pay some of the podcasting bills.
So if you like the show and you want to help us keep it up, just go to onlinechickenschool.com and click on the Amazon link to make all your Amazon purchases. Some of you are doing this on a regular basis, and we really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
There they go again. More shameless self-promotion.
Okay, so our last question for today comes from our good listener, Jennifer.
And Jennifer says, "We love your podcast out here in California. My 10-year-old son and I have been binge listening. Our 1-year-old Rhode Island Red is laying rubber eggs daily. Our other 5 chickens on the same diet are fine. She used to give a rubber egg rarely, but now it's all the time. Any ideas? Thanks for your thoughts, Jennifer and Jack."
Okay, well, that is an interesting question. We've never had that one before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a short list of things that can cause rubbery eggs.
Absolutely.
The first one on the list is just the whole pullet egg situation. And what I mean by that is a pullet is any female chicken under the age of 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And pullets tend to start laying about 6 months of age, somewhere around there. So you get about 6 months of pullet eggs.
Right.
But usually when you say pullet eggs, we're kind of referring to those eggs you get for the first month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be very, very strange.
Right. Yeah, their body's trying to figure out this whole egg-laying thing. So you get really tiny eggs and really huge eggs.
You can get an egg within an egg. This is when you get your double yolkers, which are my favorite.
Favorite time. Once they grow out of that, it's like, oh, their eggs are getting bigger, but I'm not going to get any more double yolkers.
And one of the oddities you can get is an egg that literally has no shell at all. And the only thing holding it together is the membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is actually the first egg we ever got was one of these rubber eggs.
Yeah, freaked me out. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. I don't know how to crack this. What's happening?
And it's amazing how much it will actually hold itself together, though. You think as soon as you touch it, it's going to fall apart. But that membrane actually does a pretty good job of holding it together.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So if your chicken has just begun to start laying and you're getting a rubber egg here and there, don't worry about it. That falls under the category of pullet egg, which means anything can happen and nothing's necessarily wrong. Just sort of wait it out and mm-hmm. things should correct themselves.
Right.
But that's not what we're dealing with here when you have a 1-year-old hen.
Yep, definitely. Another thing that could cause a rubber egg is stress. Now, there's a bunch of different ways a chicken can get stressed. We talked about in the last episode, heat stress. You know, they're overheated. Their body starts shutting certain things down, starts, you know, slacking on some things. You could get a rubber egg.
Bullying.
Yeah. If she's getting bullied, if she's a low hen on the totem pole and she's constantly getting pecked and pushed away, that can cause stress. I did ask her if she knew where her hen was on the pecking order. And oh, yeah, she did. She goes, she is the head hen. She is not getting bullied. She's the bully. So
she's not getting stressed. She's causing the stress.
Yeah. So maybe her stress-free lifestyle is causing a problem. I don't know. But that was definitely not one of the issues. The heat stress, they're all in the same coop. They're all in the same situation, get the same heat. So we kind of ruled that out. You know, she's not a pullet anymore. Another thing could be calcium deficiency.
Yep. One of the oddities you find is just eggs that have a very weak shell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost always a calcium issue.
Right.
You know, calcium is what makes the shell hard. So therefore, if the shell is weak, they're not getting enough calcium. Well, if there's no shell at all, mm-hmm. that can be just an extreme calcium deficiency.
Right. I did ask her if she gave oyster shell or, you know, crushed up eggshells, and she said she did. She also feeds a commercial feed, so they're getting calcium in that. So that was another thing we checked off the list.
Now, the unfortunate thing is that's pretty much where the list ends for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really familiar with any other things that cause a hen to lay a rubbery egg. You know, it's either just an odd pullet egg, it's an ongoing stress issue, or it's a calcium deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've ruled out those three things, unfortunately, it's time to get a vet involved.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she could have some kind of problem internally where she's just not able to absorb calcium. She could be eating calcium all day long and her body's just not having it.
And those could be an illness. It could be a genetic thing. You just don't know until you let a vet do their thing.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer and Jack, first for listening and second for submitting a question. When I was going back and forth with Jennifer, she did mention something pretty funny.
Yeah.
She said that Jack kind of looks at us like celebrities.
You like that, don't you?
I kind of like it. It made me smile all day long. Well, Jack, we think you're pretty awesome, too.
You know, the first thing that pops in my head when you say that is one of our favorite comedians. I think he's the funniest guy on the planet. Is a guy by the name of Tim Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time we ever saw him perform, he has this sort of, he has an interesting vibe.
Yeah.
And he's standing on stage and about two-thirds way through his act, he says, you know, sometimes people tell me I'm a celebrity and I just want you to know I'm just a real person. And, you know, there's no difference between you and me. You know, we're all the same. There's no difference between you sitting there and me sitting here. Just talent. And that's not how I feel about this situation, but when you said that, that's what that reminded me of. I thought that was hysterical.
Funny. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as always, thank you for listening. If you like the show, consider going to iTunes and giving us a really nice rating over there. And also make sure you tell a friend and get them listening.
If you want to see the show notes for this episode, go to onlinechickenschool.com/74. Well, that's all for today. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Online Chicken School Podcast. Look for us on the web at onlinechickenschool.com.